on today's Compassion Radio.
One side sees it as safety and security, and the other side sees it as basically the inside of a prison and every aspect of their life.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. From the palaces of kings to a humble manger, the gospel is coming to life in the hearts of people who meet the Prince of Peace. And we're the ones to bring you that story. Hello, and welcome to today's Compassion Radio. Since the days of King David, Bethlehem has been very special in the hearts of faithful believers, and that's doubly true for followers of Jesus. For more than 2,000 years, Christians have lived and worshipped in the little town where it all began. Just steps away from the very spot where eternity entered the world, Bethlehem Bible College trains today's missionaries, evangelists, and pastors for the daunting work of preaching the gospel all around the Palestinian territories and Muslim-majority countries. And now Bethlehem is in the crosshairs of every warring party in the Middle East and literally surrounded by massive concrete walls and razor wire. As strange as it may sound, it's exactly where God does His best work, and He's doing it through the young men and women of Bethlehem Bible College. Today, we'll meet someone who knows firsthand what it's like to be with Christ and His people at the checkpoint. Here's Bram to make introductions.
Friends, welcome to today's Compassion Radio. With me on the program today, we have a new friend, J.M. Smith. Welcome, J.M.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Now, you are a Bible teacher and a man of the world. You traveled a lot. You've seen what God's been doing in many corners of it. And He called you out to do something very special and to connect with a group of believers that not many people will ever make the effort to connect with. And that's the believing body of Christ in the Middle East, specifically in the Palestinian territories, right up there against the wall next to Jerusalem and the official state of Israel. I think that's fascinating. We're looking forward to hearing more about that story today, so welcome aboard.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And if you could, real quickly, just tell us a little bit about your personal history again, about where you started and why you got so fascinated about the contemporary issues of the church in the Middle East.
As a Bible teacher, it all stemmed from theology initially. I was interested in seminary. I'd really delved into the book of Revelation and interpreting it in its original context rather than according to the headlines and the popular teachings that have swelled up around us since the mid-1800s. And I started to see just how deeply the book affects everything in our life today. And that led into the study of the different end times views and what people believe about the end of the world and the return of Christ and will there be a rapture? And if so, what will it look like and when will it happen and all of that stuff? Well, you can't study any of that without leading naturally into politics and geopolitics, what's going on in the world, because even high-ranking officials in our government base political postures and positions and views on their end times views in many cases, and have done so since, you know, at least the late 70s, early 80s. And so that led to reexamining of the issues and what I had known and what I had always grown up hearing about Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the Middle East and Arab Christians. How does that affect modern politics? How does that affect how you view even things like peace treaties in the land? And, you know, seeing Christians saying that certain political leaders were assassinated as God's will because they signed peace treaties with the Arabs and things like that, that were just so far out in left field, that led into the study of how do Christians that are as close to indigenous as you can find in the Middle East, how do they view things like end times and the identity of the church and the peoples of God? Is there two peoples of God? Is there one people of God? Did the church replace Israel? Did the church fulfill Israel? All of those issues, it just became a big, like, Gordian knot that I realized so many people get all jumbled together into one big issue, and they pick a side based on politics and maybe some theology, and then do their hermeneutics from that position rather than vice versa. So started teaching on that and exploring it and talking with friends over there. I got connected with a filmmaker named Porter Speakman Jr., who did the documentary called With God on Our Side, telling the story of the church in Bethlehem and the number of the people from Bethlehem Bible College were in the video. And I reached out to him and we connected. And then eventually, through the generous couple, I was able to go to Christ at Checkpoint in 2014. It naturally just spilled over into what's going on there on the ground.
And that fascinates me because you're the kind of person that you would think, well, he's studying theology. He just studied more books, read more accounts of people who have engaged these big questions over the past few hundred years. But you went beyond that. And that's an important we need to make to our listeners, that it's a value and a virtue for Compassion Radio. We don't just settle for other people's accounts of things. We go and we do. And as God makes it possible for us to go to the world's toughest places, we go. And the place that he called you to go to actually see for yourself how the gospel is impacting the people of the 21st century was right at the very cradle of Christianity, which was in Bethlehem. And you, in turn, pursued an opportunity to go study with the Christians at Bethlehem Bible College at their Christ at the Checkpoint Conference. I know that Norm, our speaker for many years, has been active in that whole movement and has brought attention of that conference to our audience more than once. Now, there are so many issues, of course, that are spinning around, and to figure out how to get your head above water, you've got to go in deep before you can figure out where the surface is. And you did that. You got yourself into the thick of things in the Middle East because you really wanted to know what God was doing, what he was saying through his word and through his church in the modern era. The Christ at the Checkpoint Conference is kind of a crucial crossroads for you. So explain a little bit for our audience what the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference is, and how you got involved and what the fruit of that was in your life.
Well, it was organized by, as far as I know, Christians in Bethlehem through Bethlehem Bible College and people there that have a real passion for biblical, for lack of a better word, social justice, but without all of the political baggage that comes along with it. Because these are Christians in Bethlehem. Some listeners may not know, but Bethlehem, the city, is largely contained within a wall. So in order to do your daily life in Bethlehem, you have to constantly go through checkpoints where soldiers, armed soldiers, check you, and you go through, it's like a metal cage, and you have to go there to go to work, to travel to any other village, to go to hospitals, things like that. And that is the source of so much frustration and anger, which often spills into violence and continues fueling the conflict. So the people of Bethlehem Bible College, some of the leaders, their goal was basically, okay, how, as Christians in this powder keg, how do we live according to Scripture? How do we be Christ at the checkpoint? Jesus' original words, his speeches, his sermons, his message was given to an occupied people in their own land.
Yes, it was.
The Sermon on the Mount, for instance, there has so much modern application, literally in levels that we in the West can't even begin to understand. But for the Christians in Bethlehem, it takes on new meaning. And his call to love your enemy, to turn the other cheek, to go 2 miles if someone makes you go 1 mile, I mean, those things are very much at the forefront of their daily experience.
Let's go through that daily experience real quick before we go to the conference itself. Describe for me a little bit more, JM, about the actual enclave that has become Bethlehem. Because when I traveled there back in the early 80s, it was pretty much an easy walk from the Bethlehem village up the hill to see Jerusalem in the distance. You got a feel for what it was like for the family of Jesus to walk up to the Temple Mount and to present him as required by the law, kind of immersed in that first century vibe, which was kind of neat because you actually could see the topography of the land and you could follow it. You could walk that distance. And now it's radically different.
Yes.
The issue we've got with that wall is not just some wall off in the distance. We're talking about a wall that literally encircles you. Imagine what the Berlin Wall might be for West Berlin. Feel like you're bottled in by all this massive city around you. Take that times 10, because the wall is now literally in your face, and it bottles you up in a little tiny bubble called Bethlehem. And this affects, of course, not just the Christian community, but the Muslim community that lives in this town. If you could describe it, JM, what it's like to actually be in the presence of this wall. Can you escape it, or do you see it everywhere you look?
You mentioned the Berlin Wall. In most of Bethlehem where it touches, it weaves its way through Bethlehem. The wall doesn't follow any borders of what would be known as the Green Line or the separation between Israel and Palestine. It actually weaves in throughout the land and strategically portions off big chunks of Arab-owned land. So it's an imposing structure. It's twice the height of the Berlin Wall. in Bethlehem with, there's a military tower that overlooks the main street in Bethlehem so that soldiers can keep an eye on potential uprisings or get out tear gas or whatever's needed. While we were there last time, there were 3 tear gas volleys right outside the hotel because it's an ongoing source of strife. It encircles a refugee camp there, and it's just become this big symbol of hopelessness and imprisonment for the people on the Palestinian side of it. For the people on the Israeli side, obviously it connotes a sense of safety and protection because it was built, according to them, to prevent suicide bombings during the Intifada a few years ago. One side sees it as safety and security, and the other side sees it as basically the inside of a prison.
Thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Compassion Radio. We're going to get you right back to the interview. Just wanted to let you know that in case you missed part of today's program, or any of our shows for that matter, you can listen back at any time that's convenient for you at CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back now to the interview.
One side sees it as safety and security, and the other side sees it as basically the inside of a prison and every aspect of their life.
And when you harken back to what you mentioned about Jesus growing up at a time of occupation, speaking the language of the occupiers to the occupiers and the language of the refugees and the oppressed to the oppressed, he crossed those lines. He was the checkpoint between those two worlds during that time. And you're saying that Bethlehem Bible College is trying to bring into the modern century that sensibility of being able to understand and love people on both sides of this divide.
Absolutely. And I was fascinated by the ability of Bethlehem Bible College to bring together international voices, but also Israeli, Jewish, Messianic voices, and actually bring together at the conference 2 of the speakers at Christ the Checkpoint 2014 that got the longest standing ovation were Messianic Jewish speakers.
Amen.
So to me, that is what the work of Christ is as much as anything, is that idea of reconciliation without backing down from calling out what is unjust, but doing it in a way that doesn't further alienate, but actually tries to bring people together and work together for something that's in the best interest of everyone. And that's ultimately reconciliation with God, but then also reconciliation with one another. BBC is doing that fantastically, in my opinion.
So how does it work at this conference? What kind of things do they do at Bethlehem Bible College to bring about reconciliation between the believing communities in Israel and the Palestinian territories, and between secular powers, or even between Muslim and secular or religious powers across that line? What kind of things do they do as practical?
The most practical thing, at least from my vantage point, as a Western evangelical in the South here in America, they bring people over, one, to get together and actually listen to each other, to talk to each other, to spend an extended period of time with each other, and to hear voices that they would not normally hear in their own echo chambers, whether that be the radical Palestinian justice movements, the BDS boycott movements, or any of that, or the Christian Zionist Stand With Israel flag-waving IDF-supporting crowd. They force both sides to face truths that they may not want to hear at the conference from speakers who are invited. One of the most tangible things is, especially in our social media day and age where everybody gets into their own echo chamber and you read your own news from your own sources and your own theology from your own favorite preachers and teachers, BBC, through Christ at the Checkpoint, actually invited hundreds of us from all over the world to come and to actually listen to people, even people that we didn't agree with, in a spirit of we are all here together, we are all desiring peace, we are all followers of Jesus, and we have to figure out a way to live this in the mess without demanding clean, neat, short, soundbite answers, but to actually go through the struggle together. So that's one of the things, the most important thing of the conference. Bethlehem Bible College partners with organizations like Masalaha, which is basically, it's an organization for reconciliation that takes, as part of its ministry, Palestinian Arab students, like high school, and Israeli Jewish or Israeli Messianic students, and brings them together for camps out in the wilderness, like out in the desert. And they go and they camp and they live together, they camp together, they learn together, they get to know one another, they interact with each other. The kids from the Palestinian Arab side have to befriend and learn the story of one of their counterparts on the Israeli Messianic Jewish side, and vice versa. And then at the end of the camp, one of the things they have to do is tell the whole group the other person's story. So in other words, it creates a bridge. You have your two narratives. You have the Israeli narrative, you have the Palestinian narrative, and they are as diametrically opposed as you can get. What Bethlehem Bible College and organizations like Masalaha and others encourage people to do is actually find a bridging narrative that says, okay, I'm not going to deny your truth. You can't deny my truth either. So let's figure out in the midst of this what's going on, and let's pull the truth from both of our narratives and challenge each other on what may be falsehoods that we've come to embrace. And so that's just one example, but that's a very tangible, powerful way to break down ideological divides, is by putting a human face on it on the other side and saying, this is a person.
Now, politics and political solutions have to do with settling grievances or affirming truths to be evident to both sides. But it seems to me that a Christ-like peacemaker takes another dimension. It's not just about settling the facts or settling disputes. It's about establishing relationship. And if God is going to reconcile the world to himself, that we need to be reconcilers more than just ceasing from our own aggression, that we need to go beyond and become the one that cares and cares for creation, for other people, whether or not they believe what we believe. And it seems like Bethlehem Bible College is taking the lead right where they are, because it's an unavoidable reality, as we would say, an inconvenient truth. That wall is cutting through your neighborhood. You could literally walk by and touch it on your way to anywhere. They're facing that issue head on because it's right there for them, and they are in a fishbowl. So I marvel that they've made the effort to bring the whole world to them, not because it's a political issue for them to try to get the wall taken down, but because they truly want to be Christ in places where there are walls. And there are walls like this all over the planet. What's the lesson that you took away from your first encounter with this Christ at the Checkpoint Conference? And what do you think that American Christians need to know about areas of conflict and irreconcilable differences like what we have right now in the Palestinian territories?
Well, one of the mottos of the conference that the organizers have put together is, and for Bethlehem Bible College, is come and see. That's one of the things that they say, is come and see. When you do a tour of the Holy Land, be sure it includes not just a stopover at the Church of the Nativity on your way to other sites on the safe side, quote, of the Green Line, but actually do a tour that includes the Palestinian narrative, and especially the Palestinian Christian narrative. I learned at the conference that we hear a lot that Christian population in the Middle East is dwindling, and that's true. The biggest causes for Christians in Palestine leaving the country, expatriating, number one was the lack of freedom of movement, and number two was the lack of economic opportunity. So Christ at the Checkpoint and Bethlehem Bible College have been very intentional about showing the world, hey, the church in the Middle East is dwindling, but we are not going to just leave, because the church is the hope of the world. And wherever there is conflict, wherever there is struggling, wherever there is hardship, that's usually where you can find the gospel at work, or where it's needed most.
And it's probably right where the gospel is most effective, too.
Oh, absolutely. Most applicable. When I talk here in the States, maybe debating about the Israeli-Palestinian issue, and they're bringing up political things and just trying to keep it in a political mindset, I try to tell them, look, just spend 3 days in Bethlehem. Just meet the people, see what life is like, cross the checkpoints. I went through the checkpoints multiple times while I was there. See what that's like in your daily life, and then read the Gospels. You'll come away with a much deeper appreciation for Jesus' words and how challenging they would have been and how infuriating they would have been to first century zealot nationalists. Well, that's the same thing today that Christians often face from zealous Palestinian rights activists, is they have to say, you're compromising, you're showing kindness, this is the enemy, these are the oppressors, you know, these are the people that stole our land, blah, blah, blah. And the gospel comes in and gives a stark reminder that, yes, being Jesus means suffering under those things, but not suffering in silence. Suffering with a purpose, and suffering with a higher perspective, to see it's bigger than just whose land is this and what borders should be upheld. It goes all the way to the heart of who we are as people. Whose land is this? Well, the land is God's land. The land belongs to the Messiah under a theological understanding, not to any ethnic people group. God made very clear in Torah, Israel, I'm giving you this land on lease as my tenants, and I will drive you out the way I drove out the Canaanites if you don't obey me. So God is the ultimate owner of the land. Any political solutions long-term that don't take that into account will continue to generate the cycle of animosity and on vindictiveness and oppression, and one next group rises into power and takes over, and then the other group becomes the oppressed.
And again, if we just stick with political solutions, one set of people could have their truth, the other could have their truth. But there are truths about how bad it's been on both sides.
Yes.
And then in steps the church. And we need to recognize and make our listeners very aware right now that the Church of Christ is alive and well on both sides of this divide. Within Israel and within the Palestinian territories, there are believing Christians that are making a difference, who are living a gospel life. So we're not just looking for truths about who was wrong. We're looking for a gospel truth, which is that God is bringing His peace, His love, and His redemption to all mankind in the Middle East, in these territories that He already owns. And that's an important thing for us to grasp. We wrap up today's program. JM, would you be willing to stay with us for another segment? We'd love to talk some more about the Christ Checkpoint Conference and about your personal experience with the believers there in Bethlehem. Are you available for one more show?
Sure, absolutely.
We've had with us today J.M. Smith, a pastor from Charlotte, North Carolina, and a powerful voice for what's happening on the ground in the Middle East because he went there and because he pursued the Word of God to find out what it really meant to the believers in the Middle East. It's transformed his life and his work, and it should be transforming our perspective, too, and we're glad to have him with us today on Compassion Radio. Thanks again, J.M.
My pleasure.
That's a powerful firsthand perspective of some of the goings-on in the Holy Land as we close out this week here on Compassion Radio, and we look forward to hearing more from our special guest next week. Here now, more good words from Norm on Bethlehem Bible College.
Bethlehem Bible College may not be familiar to you, especially if you're a fairly new listener to Compassion Radio. Well, you need to know about this amazing school, located right on the main road between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. In fact, it's just a short distance from Manger Square and the site of our Lord's birth in Bethlehem. It's a place that you need to visit the next time you go to the Holy Land. Now, Bethlehem Bible College was founded back in 1979 by Dr. Bashara Awad. It was created to provide training in the Bible, in theology, and in other necessary disciplines needed by Palestinian Christian young people who feel the call of God on their lives to serve the Lord in ministry. One of the most unfortunate blind spots that we American evangelicals have is our lack of awareness about or indifference toward the vibrant and spiritually alive community of Christian brothers and sisters that exists among the Arab population of Israel's Palestinian territories. I'm not hesitant at all to say that I believe that Bethlehem Bible College is the most important Christian educational institution that exists today anywhere in the Middle East. The young people it is training for ministry in the service of Christ hold the key to the resolution of the seemingly unsolvable conflict between Jew and Arab in Israel and beyond. Now, my friend, isn't this exactly what we're all looking for in the Middle East? We are supporting the scholarship fund of Bethlehem Bible College and offering financial assistance to the committed students who are pursuing a Christian education but who lack the funds to cover the costs of their study at this wonderful college. Now, here's how you can help to cover the cost of educating one of the deserving students at Bethlehem Bible College.
Every student contributes what they can. Many students can contribute nothing more than their very lives. And that, of course, is the biggest contribution of all. Can we help with the minor costs of training them to bring Jesus to the Muslim-majority countries all around them? Of course we can. All it takes to train a pastor is $900 a year. That's around $100 a month, or $25 a week. And that's for everything they need. It's an unbelievable value, and one of the best investments in kingdom building that we've ever seen. As Compassion Radio partners, you have liberally helped us equip the church at one end of the Silk Road. Please help us this month to equip the church at the other. This is the very birthplace of our faith, after all, and is still equipping new pastors for their role in winning souls for Christ in the heart of the Palestinian territories and other countries throughout the Middle East. Would you consider making this your Christmas gift to Jesus? For gifts of $25 or more, we'll even send you a gift crafted personally by believers who live in Bethlehem. There's a very limited supply of these, so make your contribution early. Thank you for helping the church around the world from one end of the Silk Road to the other.
Thanks for that good word, Bram. And on a musical note, so to speak, we have some of our wonderful Christmas music in stock from Morning Song and the Chapel Singers while supplies last. We offer those for a love gift of $15 for CDs and $10 for the cassette version. And finally, with the countdown to 2017 upon us, we need to remind you that Compassion Radio comes to you daily and reaches out in compassion to those who need to see and experience the love of Christ, only through your financial support. Finally, for your gift of $25 or more, we would like to send you, at your request, a token prayer reminder made for you in the little town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem Bible College students are directly involved with choosing and preparing each item. We trust you will treasure this unique thank you gift as it reminds you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which directly affects Bethlehem. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That address again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And our web address, of course, available to you 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. This is Jim Governale. On behalf of our Compassion Radio team, have a blessed day in the Lord. And we'll be back with you again Monday with more Compassion Radio.